With a great deal of pleasure that we welcome you today. We remind you that our commitment here is to the truth. As Paul said, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 15. We're glad to see you. We encourage you to get your Bible and to search the scriptures with us. In just a short while, for the 97th time, it will be said at the Indianapolis 500, gentlemen and ladies, start your engines. And the run is on. You know, the Bible identifies us with these words, they which run in a race. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 24, Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." That's 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. I'd like to talk to you for just a few moments today about they which run in a race. And the first thing I want to call to your attention is the fact that they which run in a race must first hear about the race. There'd be no way that those who are participating in the 97th running of the Indianapolis 500 could do that unless they first heard about the race. The Bible teaches that hearing is the first order of things. In Deuteronomy 5 and in verse 1, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, what did he say unto them? Hear, O Israel. And as you come to the New Testament, the first thing that Peter said to those on Pentecost when he preached the first recorded gospel sermon was, hear these things, Acts 2 and then verse 22. Why is it so important that I hear? Because that's what produces faith. As the book of Romans 10 and verse 17 teaches, so then faith cometh. How's faith come, Paul? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as I thought about this expression, they which run in a race, I thought about the fact that they first must hear about the race. But then secondly, they which run in a race must qualify to enter the race. Not just anybody and everybody can run in the Indianapolis 500. They have qualifications that must be met. And that's the way it is with this spiritual race that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There are some qualifications that must be met in order to run. And those have been laid down by the Holy Spirit within this volume. The first qualification that must be met is that an individual must hear, as we just talked about. You've got to hear about the race. And that's what produces faith. And the second qualification that must be met is that of faith. We must believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Hebrews 11 and in verse 6. Jesus said, "For if ye believe not that I am He, what's going to happen? Ye shall die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. But does that mean now that I've heard about the race and I believe that I'm automatically entered into the race? No. There are some other qualifications that must be met. I must repent. In Luke 13 and 3, the Lord said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And when those on Pentecost asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" they were told, first of all, repent, Acts 2, and in verse 38. Paul said in the book of Acts 17 and 30, that God commandeth all men everywhere to do what? Repent. And so repentance is necessary, followed by a confession of one's faith. You remember in Acts 8 when a man says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, what did he say? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Verse 37. The Lord taught that those who confess Him before men will be confessed before His Father. Matthew 10, 32. And Paul declared that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And so you must confess your faith if you want to enter this race. But then also, running in the race requires another qualification be met, and that is being baptized. In Acts 2 and 38, Peter didn't just say repent, he said repent and what? Be baptized for the remission of sins. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, Paul said, for by one Spirit all were we all baptized into what? Into one body. And so entrance into this race, the greatest of all races, requires qualifications be met. Hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of one's sins, confessing his faith in the Lord, and being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, and into the one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. But let me suggest to you also, as you think about they which run in a race, that they must do just that. That is, they must run. You know, it's not enough for me to hear about the race and to enter the race to have met those qualifications, except I run. I can't just sit down on the track and expect to receive the prize. Just like in the Indianapolis 500, a fellow couldn't hear about the race and meet the qualifications and then just sit there without running until the race was over. You know, the Bible teaches that we must run. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12 and in verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and, watch these next three words, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we must run. You might underscore in verse 1, let us run. And notice how we're to run, with patience. That is, we're going to have some long-suffering about us. And we must run with our eyes on the Lord, looking unto Jesus. But then also, I think about the fact that they which run in a race must run on the right enclosure. You see, those who are going to participate in the Indianapolis 500 have to run on the right enclosure. They have to run on the right track. Suppose there's a fella out here that gets on another track. He's out here and he has the fastest time when compared with those that participate at the speedway. And he does that quicker than anybody. Would he expect to receive the prize? Could he go to the judge and say, I've entered the race and I've run the race and I did it faster than anybody else. You expect to receive the prize? No, you have to be running on the proper track, on the right enclosure. You can't just run any place. And God has specified the place where the race of life is to be run, and that is the New Testament church. In Acts 2 and in verse 47, we read where the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And when Paul wrote the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and then in verse 19, he talked about in the church. That's the place where we are to do all of our spiritual running. You can't run outside of the Lord's church or in some other church than the Lord's church and expect to receive the prize at the end of the race. For there is but one church, Ephesians 4:4, and that's the church built by Christ, Matthew 16, and in verse 18. But also, as you make a study today concerning they which run in a race, let me recommend to you something else. And that is, they must respect and abide by the rules of the race. There's no way that a fellow could expect to be crowned at the end of the race if he doesn't respect the rules. and follow those precisely. There have been those who've participated in previous 500 races that have been disqualified because they didn't compete according to the rules. And you know, the Bible puts emphasis on rule observance. Like in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, when Paul said in verse 16, let us walk by the same rule. And in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 16, when he wrote these words, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. When Paul wrote Timothy, he talked about the importance of rules and rule observance. He said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, or in other words, if he compete as an athlete, or we might say if he run in a race, yet is he not crowned except he strive. Strive how? Lawfully. You see, there's a rule committee that oversees the rules of the Indianapolis 500, and if you're going to compete and win, you've got to follow the rules, like it or not. And that's the way it works in this race. The race that is set before us, there's some rules. And the book that you have in your hand today is the rule book. If you'd like to know all the rules of the race, they're readily available for your knowing and for my learning. As these rules are God-given, as Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. Now, with man's rules, they're subject to change. And a lot of times they become outdated. They have to be updated. They're revised. But not so with this rule book. It's perfect. It's the perfect law of liberty. James 1:25. It needs no updating. It needs no revision. It's not to be added to or taken away from. Revelation 22:18-19. In fact, back in Deuteronomy 4:2, the Lord said, add not, neither diminish aught from it. And so if I can't add anything to it, I can't subtract from it, what do I need to do with it? I just need to run according to it. And so they which run in a race must hear about it. They must qualify to enter it. They must run. They must run on the right enclosure. And they must run respecting and following the rules. I'm going to suggest to you something else. And that is, they which run in a race must run until the race is over. You see, you can't just run for a little while and think, okay, I'll stop my car right here and that's it. You wouldn't expect to win. You wouldn't expect to win a foot race that way. You've got to run until it's over. If you stop running, what's going to happen? You'll lose. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 5, notice the apostle said in verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You know, a fellow might start out running and he might run really good. He might be in the lead. But he's got to continue until the end. And the Bible puts a lot of emphasis on that. You know, the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation 2 and in verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 6, Paul said to Timothy, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have, listen, finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. It's not enough to just enter the race and run for a little while, but I've got to run till the race is over. I've got to run to the end. And unfortunately, there are a lot of folks who, like was said of the Galatians, you did run well, but who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Don't let anybody hinder you. Don't let any obstacle get in your way. from finishing the greatest race of all. And then finally, let me suggest to you that there's a prize at the end of this race. You think about the prize that's in store for the winner of the Indianapolis 500. Trophy? Money? Milk? Those all pale in comparison, don't they, to the prize at the end of this race. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That is, the crown given to the winner of an earthly race is subject to decay. It's going to fade away. But we do it to obtain an incorruptible. That is, the prize at the end of life's race to those who finish the race and are judged winners by the Lord, if you will, receive a prize that will never fade away, that will not decay. And you think about all the energy and all the effort and all that goes into preparing for an earthly race. If they're willing to expend that kind of energy and effort, how much more so should we be willing to expend every effort and pay every price necessary that we might secure for us an eternal reward? In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 13, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What is it, Paul? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And remember, as Paul said he had finished the course, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me. What's laid up for you, Paul? A crown, which the Lord shall give me at that day. And not me only, but all them also that love his appearing. Peter described the prize at the end in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4 as an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Let me ask you a question. Have you entered this race? You've heard about it. You must qualify to enter it. And now's the time to do that, as you've heard about it. Would you meet those qualifications that have been revealed by the Holy Spirit? Do you have faith? Do you believe? Are you willing to repent of your sins, to make some changes in your life, to confess your faith before men today? I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will be happy to baptize you this morning into the one body for the remission of your sins, that you might run on the proper enclosure and run with your eyes on the Lord with patience, recognizing the rules, observing those, and not stop until the race is over, so that you can hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Maybe you've entered the race, but you've become sidetracked. Maybe you've just thrown up your hands and quit. You can be reinstated through repentance and confession and prayer. Remember Simon in Acts 8, who, after he had entered the race, his heart was not right in the sight of God, and he was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. It may be that you stand in need of the prayers of the saints on your behalf, and we'd be happy to pray with you and for you, that you might be forgiven, that you might be reinstated in this race by the Lord himself. And if we can assist you this morning in making your life right with God in any way, would you come to the front as together we now stand and sing.